We pray to the Lord. If we say we love you, Lord, let us live the life that demonstrates the same. In Jesus we pray, amen. Well, I was asking people this morning at 8:15 to raise their hands if you've heard the story about Zacchaeus. Do I have a number of hands? How many of you know about the story of Zacchaeus? Okay, good. So we can throw this one out, right? No, I want to just share a few things with you today. I know that most of us have heard things about Zacchaeus. One of the mysteries I find in Scripture is that nearly every time that we are exposed to it, there's something new. There's a new meaning, there's a new truth, there's a new idea. And I have to confess that frequently when I come to these passages, I look through and try to find something that perhaps we've missed. To help keep the gospel message fresh and relevant, that's an important thing for us to do in modern times, is to make it fresh and relevant to modern. The church, as you know, often treats the account of Zacchaeus as a bit of a children's story. If you grew up in Sunday school, you probably learned that song, and I know there are some people who know that song because they sang it the other day. It goes something like this. The chorus goes like this. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Well, you know, we could look at that immediately, or we could perhaps look at a bit of a modern look at that as well. Because for us, it's not about Zacchaeus' height, how tall or how short he is. The thing that often comes to us, of course, immediately is that he's a tax collector. Now, we talked just a little bit about tax collectors last week. They were hated. I don't know too many tax collectors whom we actually love or want to take for lunch at any given time, unless they're going to review your last number of years' taxation. But they were hated because of who they did and how they did it. And, of course, they were very closely associated with Roman imperialism, and they were rapidly corrupt. That's the big issue with the tax collector of the day. In fact, often they're almost like mob bosses. I mean, that's where it is. And he, of course, was a chief tax collector, which have all kinds of other things that we can say. So if we modernize it, we could do something like this, for example. I wonder who may have been up a tree in 2008 in New York City if Jesus happened to arrive at that particular time. Do you remember Jamie Dimon? Does that name sound familiar? He certainly was up at a tree at that particular time. You see, he was head of J.P. Morgan Bank, and he was fined $13 billion for the bank's role in a people-crushing financial scandal. I want you to know that Jamie's doing very well. He still makes $20 million a year, and his dollar value is $1 billion plus. But let's not ignore Zacchaeus entirely. Most of the people in the Bible experience the call from Christ either as a personal invitation or through his public ministry and his preaching. A lot of good folks those days searched Jesus out because some kind of affliction or some kind of issue that they were facing in their personal lives. This is certainly true in my life. There's nothing like being on your knees and being humble to be able to hear the Spirit of God speaking clearly to you, for up to that time you've ignored him entirely. But you know, he was a very businessman, strong businessman, and he was a very successful businessman. And he had worked very hard to move up the ladder and earn the title of chief. And of course, we know that he was very wealthy. You know, his circumstance, his limitations as a youth may have been the very thing that motivated him to do the kinds of things that he did. I don't think that people would be much different those days in terms of how they treated him or what they had to say about him than our modern generation has to say about anyone who might be different or have some kind of physical ailment or condition. Suppose that's one of the reasons why midgets now really do not like the term. They prefer to be called little people. Now, the scripture, as we read it, suggests that he operated business with a certain amount of integrity. You notice how he said, if I have cheated anyone, he was going to pay back about 400 times. I think that he would know if he was dishonest. And he would know in his wisdom that he wouldn't be able to get away with that in front of the Lord. So I think that there was a good sense that he had an integrity about him. We often assume that he was corrupt, just as we often say that all politicians are crooked, or all lawyers are liars, or my favorite one, all used car dealers are dishonest. You ever heard of the other Zacchaeus children's chorus that sometimes is sung in some places even today? Not the one that we sang at the beginning. This is the one that some people will sing. Zacchaeus was a greedy little man. He cheated all the people in the land. And when the rent they did not pay, he would take their lands away and their furniture and everything they had. Do you see how easy it is to tarnish a reputation by a word or two or a thought placed in someone's mind at an opportune time? Two marvelous things happened in our scripture today that's important. When Jesus encounters this man, the first thing he does is he calls him by name, Zacchaeus. There's all kinds of people milling around and people pushing and shoving, I'm sure, to get a better view to see what's going on. But he stops and he looks up and he sees this man and he calls him by name. Has it ever occurred to you that in spite of the fact that there are billions of us on this planet Earth, that Jesus actually knows your first name? Isn't that marvelous? That's the God that we worship and we love. He calls him by his first name. He calls you by his first name. Even the hairs of your head are numbered. The other marvelous thing that Jesus does to Zacchaeus, he says to him, salvation has come to your house. Not just that Jesus was going to be coming and visiting. There was something far greater that was taking place. My evangelical friends say that Zac got saved. He was born again. There's no qualification in what Jesus says, but an expressed fact that that moment, that his relationship with this person was now going to be different. Zacchaeus overcame several obstacles to encounter Christ. Indeed, he had some physical limitations, and he certainly had a bad reputation. His peers criticized him, as you might expect, and the crowds at that particular moment blocked his way. They may have blocked that way just accidentally, or they may have done that deliberately because they knew who he was. How undignified it was for this person of great wealth to climb a tree to see who this Jesus was. You know something? our offensive actions and our stinging words that we often let fall out of our mouths stand in the way of the gospel and ruin miracles and marvelous happenings for people in our life. Indeed, there are other times it can be painful lack of an individual recognition. There's another interesting observation about this man. It seems that Zacchaeus did not change jobs. He was a tax collector before he met Christ, and there is a good chance that he's collecting taxes after Christ left. His job was the same. But because of his encounter with the Lord, his life was very much different. I have not met any individual who's had an encounter with Christ whose life has not changed dramatically. It just doesn't happen. But now, because of this experience, he continues his job. But it's an opportunity to give glory to God. I shouldn't have to underline, but sometimes we have to remind people that you don't have to become a vocational minister to follow Jesus Christ with your whole heart. The reality is that the kingdom of God needs Christ's followers in every aspect of life, every place, everywhere. It's also important that you understand that retirement has nothing to do with that. The things that you do, the witness and who you are, is not tied necessarily to your economic worth. Rather interesting in this story, too, of this account. I don't like calling scripture stories. I know we often said the story. I don't use that term. It's not a good term. The account. Luke is watching what's going on and recording what's going on. It's an account. This is the only account of where a wealthy person is saved in the gospel. We can recall what Jesus used to say or did say about rich persons not having the same opportunity to get into heaven as the poor people. Remember how the illustrations he gave going through the needle and all that sort of thing? Well, you see, Zacchaeus did not know that when he met Jesus on the way to Jericho. By the way, that was the last time that our Lord visits Jerusalem. Now, the salvation that Zacchaeus received is still available today. It doesn't make any difference who you are, what you are, or who you think you are. It's still there. It's still rich. And we need to follow people like this in his example. And read more intently to what was going on at that time when he met Jesus and how Luke records that. The other important thing is we must never allow anything to separate us from the love of God, not our behaviors, not our sinfulness, nothing like that, because God has something for each one of us and he desires that something for you in your life. It's important then that we listen to his call to us, we listen to his voice, and that respond. And when we respond, there'll be some pretty marvelous things that are going to happen. The scripture reminds us this: what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give to exchange their soul? I'm not criticizing Mr. Diamond, because I don't know all the circumstances. I don't know what leads up to that. But I'm going to tell you something. I pray for him, because he now has terminal cancer. I've spoken to you this day in the God and the Savior that I love and you love. Amen.